at McDonald's, took it to my stash spot.
See, McCoy has come out this time. Normally, Goodrich can come and get it. You know they're going to try to run a backdoor play if they can get it.
Under 10, backdoor.
This is like porn for you.
Courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I'm most definite.
That we are the Backdoor Cut, KFN.com. BringMeTheNews.com, at SportsMN, at BringMN on Twitter. Rick Coachella's BringMeTheNews.com is the home for your basketball segment of the Backdoor Cut. Thank you also to Meat Sauce for hosting us on the Saturdays with Sauce page. Right under his big face are our podcasts.
You've been listening to The Backdoor Cut, a Meat Sauce production.
1600 Utica Avenue Southeast, St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Beautiful, lovely Tuesday evening. And Brett Cloutier is with me from a place that is probably a little cooler, probably a little more blustery on the lake, but also probably heavenly. Mr. Cloutier, check in from Brainerd. Tell me what it's like.
Isn't it nice that the humidity has peaked? Remember, like, a couple weeks ago when we get on our shows and we talk about how humid it was and how, like, treacherous the weather was and how we just want to lay in front of a air conditioning unit all day? Now it's nice and 80, there's a breeze, the humidity's gone, the Russian Timberwolves are dominating at the Olympics. It's a good time of the year to be a Minnesota Timberwolves fan.
You know, basketball's our thing. We do the Variety Hour okay. We talked this week after being joined by Lindsey Gentzel 3 weeks ago, Kelsey Schultz and Meat Sauce 2 weeks ago, and this past week by Justin Gard. God, I almost forgot. I almost forgot the biggest name on the Backdoor Cut. What about, how about some disrespect? My God, that's absolutely terrible. But it's been a power-packed guest lineup, and the Variety Hour was sans guests, and the Wolves podcast will be the same. And we'll be talking plenty of Wolves, plenty of Olympics. And last week, Brett Cloutier, on this said segment, we talked a lot about the best individual seasons in the history of Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. You picked Kevin Love's 26-13 season of last year's number one overall in a year where 26-40 was the real story, their record for the 66-game season. I would have gone with the MVP Kevin Garnett season of 03-04, the only MVP this franchise has ever collected in a Western Conference Finals appearance. Later in the show, we're going to build off that and look at the best assembly of Minnesota Timberwolves basketball players all on one team. It's an all-Minnesota Timberwolves team, and we're going to pit them against this year's team to see where we stack up. But right off the top, Brett Cloutier, do you know what today was in Olympic basketball?
Well, what's today, Michael? Please entertain me.
This would be quarterfinal day, Brett Cloutier. Well, kind of. Well, no, it was in women's basketball, I guess it was. But there's a medal round coming up in men's basketball, and we'd love to talk. You know what? We actually are probably doing a disservice to the Backdoor Cut basketball fans by talking all this basketball, all this Olympic basketball, and not mentioning that people like, oh yeah, Lindsey Whalen and the United States, Maya Moore in
Simone
the United
Augustus.
States, Simone Augustus in the United States. They combined, by the way, today for 25 points in a 43-point shellacking of Canada.
And Maya Moore got the start tonight.
Maya Moore did get the start. Whalen and Augustus came off the bench, but Lindsey Whalen, she lets her play speak for herself, whether she's starting or coming off the bench, and she's been very good as well. The U.S. women's Olympic team, I'd say Brett Cloutier, and I'm not a great women's basketball mind. I'm a great basketball mind, not a great Olympic women's basketball mind. I'd say they're probably on their way to a gold.
Well, absolutely, 100%. I don't think they've lost an international game since, I think, 92 or 88, I heard.
My God.
But, well, Lindsey Whalen has been kind of the star point guard for them. Sue Bird, former Connecticut Husky, I think now in the Seattle Storm. Is that their team name?
She's still playing, man.
I'm not up to my WNBA.
The Seattle Sounders. The Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah, the Seattle Supersonics. So, Sue Bird, for that Connecticut sorority, kind of Gino Auriemma and his crew kind of gives them a little bit of favoritism, which is okay because our girl from Hutchinson, Minnesota, University of Minnesota, Minnesota Lynx, Lindsey Whalen, plays when it matters and has been putting up phenomenal numbers for Team USA.
She has definitely established herself as one of the best point guards in the WNBA and now one of the best point guards at this Olympics. She is generally, usually, the person they talk to after games. She was somewhat of a non-factor today, but you know what? Take it easy against Canada. 43-point destruction. I think that's okay. 43 is roughly what the U.S. Olympic team is averaging winning their preliminary games by, 38.2, if I'm not mistaken, Brett Cloutier. And there were three games, all W's, for the Americans since the last time we checked in. And we're going to talk about points of interest because we don't want to painstakingly break down each and every play that Kevin Love made in these Olympics or that Carmelo Anthony made. Wait, what's that?
Not getting a lot of playing time, so it wouldn't be too many plays to break on.
Hasn't gotten a whole lot of playing time, but he still has put up those good numbers in the game against Nigeria, which was, what, 156-73, an absolute destruction in which Carmelo Anthony dropped 34 points in 14 minutes. Kevin Love dropped 15, grabbed 6 boards, was 6 of 9 from the field against Nigeria. In the game against Lithuania, which I got to see the second half of, Brett Clutera, you weren't holding your breath, but Lithuania was outplaying the U.S. for, I'd say, probably the first, and of course, in the Olympics, what is it, 4 10-minute halves, is that right, or is it longer than that?
4 10-minute quarters.
Quarters, of course. 40-minute games, 4 10-minute quarters. So I'd say for about 33, 34 minutes, Lithuania had the upper hand, but we definitely turned it on. LeBron took over down the stretch, and Lithuania kind of hit a bump in the road as far as offensively. He puts up 7 points, 8 boards in that one, only got 15 minutes. He was in a little bit of foul trouble in that one. And in the game against Argentina, which another very good game, up until the half, the U.S. comes out and drops, I think it was like a 26-point differential in the third quarter, and it was a blowout from there with Carmelo Anthony hitting a three to end the third, all the momentum in favor of the U.S. 13 points, 9 boards on 5 of 7 shooting against Argentina, Brett Clutier. Talking points from the week, this team looks superior. They've faced the tough teams. They've faced the Lithuanians. They've faced the Argentinas. They played Spain, obviously, in their final preliminary game before the Olympics. They've looked good against pretty much everyone. The Lithuania game, as we said, a little bit of a scare. And Lithuania, not a team that's supremely talented. They have a bunch of NBA players that were average at best in the league or are still average at best in the league. But does any of this worry you as far as Kevin Love, as far as the U.S. Olympic team? Do you want to see more playing time for our guy? Or if things are working well, should we just stick with how they're going?
You're starting with Lithuania. They're a team that's beaten us in the past. They're the epitome of a European team. They shoot well, they defend well, they run a lot of zone defense. Yeah, they're not as athletic. They don't have as much NBA talent as the Americans.
Like you said, played together well, though, yeah.
Or even that of Argentina, but they're a constant team. They play good defense, they rotate well, and they share the ball. And they really took advantage of the defensive weaknesses that the United States team has. With Kevin Love, a big thing to take from this is the national respect I've been seeing from the John Hollingers, you know, some of the big name national NBA analysts, is that a lot of people are getting, the biggest thing they're getting down on Coach K for is going small. Their small lineups haven't worked. Playing Carmelo or LeBron at the five, so to say, but it's really a five-out offense where it's a lot of pressing, a lot of attacking the rim, and no real post presence inside. Well, that lineup defensively has struggled immensely because you're getting some of these fundamental centers who hang around the rim, finish well around the rim, who are just kind of laying in the weeds and getting a lot of points. So Tyson Chandler, who has really fallen victim of the five-foul rule in international play, gets 3 or 4 fouls out seemingly in every first half. And oftentimes Coach K's response is to go small. Well, a lot of these national people are really clamoring for Kevin Love to get more playing time, especially in crunch time situations when Tyson Chandler is in foul trouble, have Kevin Love play the five. And I think that's the biggest thing to take from that level of respect league-wide that Kevin Love has gotten, at least from the media members.
It's nice to see Lithuania taking defeat in stride. Argentina did not. A lot of conflict. And, of course, when it gets into international play and you have people playing for different countries, it seems like, and you saw all the way back to the Dream Team, Tony Kukoc is the obvious example, when they froze him out of that game against, what country was that? Was that the Czechs, Romania, whatever country Kukoc was from? I can't specifically remember. And so where Jordan and Pippen and all those guys said, we're going to attack this guy and shut him down. And I don't know if Luis Scola was feeling slighted by the U.S. or feeling like they were disrespecting Argentina, but he got in the face of Mike Krzyzewski and Carmelo, as I'm looking at it right now on NBCOlympics.com, Campazzo, the player that ran by him and kind of tapped him in the midsection right as he was taking a three that put the U.S. Up even bigger going into the fourth quarter, called it a cheap shot, called it uncalled for. If they meet again, Brett Clutier, it might be bad blood.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at Argentina, and their team was a lot more talented than managed over Luis Scola. I think, personally, Scola kind of gives Argentinian teammates to take out his animosity from Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey out on the United States team and Carmelo Anthony. But the best part about it was how furious Coach K was about it.
Love it.
It looked like a North Carolina Duke game where Duke just was getting screwed by the referees. That's how fired up he was, and I like that Coach K. I don't like sitting back Coach K who keeps LeBron on the bench. I like that Coach K who's fired up. It was really going to go to battle for his guys.
other wolves in the Olympics. It's been well chronicled that your guy Alexei Shved and my guy Andrei Kirilenko from Russia with Love, as they've been cleverly nicknamed by many many people. It's not just the people, not just those in the know. It's been, you know, kind of a those people that have thought long and hard enough for hours and hours on end to figure this out have come up with it. Alexei Shved, 17.6 assists, 3 boards versus Brazil, shut out against Spain in a win for Russia, but then came back 13 points, 2 assists, 6 boards in their last game against Australia. Kirilenko, 19 points, 4 boards, 8 of 13 from the field against Brazil, 8-8 versus Spain, and 13, 4 boards and 2 assists versus Australia. He's leading Russia in points, assists, or excuse me, points, boards, steals, and blocks. Amazing. He's doing it all. And this is the guy that we remember from being with the Utah Jazz for so long and having those great defensive seasons. Not putting up the most giant offensive numbers, but the 15-16 point-a-night performances. And he still looks in great form. You look at the bracket right now. You have coming up Brazil-Argentina in one quarterfinal, USA versus Australia. My guy Patty Mills is going to be on showcase for Australia in that game against the U.S. France and Spain, and then in the bottom right of your bracket, it's Russia and Lithuania. That's probably going to be one of the best. Brazil and Argentina and then Russia and Lithuania, two of the showcase games of this round. Tell me, are Russia and the USA on pace for a gold medal final? Wolves versus Wolves. Are we going to see an all-Wolves gold medal game?
I hope so.
That'd be awesome.
Because it'd be definite deja vu to a certain extent to that of Ricky Rubio as a 17-year-old point guard playing against the United States and Jason Kidd, Chris Paul, et cetera, in the 2008 Olympics in Beijing. Now you get Alexei Shved, obviously not the name Ricky Rubio is, or even the talent that Ricky Rubio is, or once was, depending on how he bounces back from his knee injury. But at least we get to see our guys front and center, and for a minute, maybe talked about, as everyone would say, wow, those two guys are on Minnesota. Good for Minnesota. They have a nice little squad this year. I think Spain comes out of that bottom half. They're going to have a tough game with France. But I like Spain. I like their size in the interior at the Gasols. I think it's the inevitable United States-Spain matchup. But don't count on Russia, because the way Kirilenko plays, he's the epitome of the European guy. Again, mm-hmm. He's good defense, can score without the basketball.
Runs like a young deer.
Can hit shots, can beat the press up the floor. He's going to cause trouble for this United States team. They press so aggressively that any point guard who can dribble with their left and their right hand is able to beat their press at times because they're so aggressive. Sometimes 3-4 guys on one end of the with the press on one end of the court with one guy stuck back for potential 4-on-1 break if they ever can break the press. So you're gonna see some high scoring games. It's gonna be a great match for Kirilenko. I think he can score a ton of points against the United States, but unfortunately without Rubio there, that Spain match would be a lot better, but I still think it's going to be Spain-United States in that gold medal game.
Of your Wolves this week, who's your winner? Shved, Kirilenko, and Love. Don't count Wes Johnson at Rucker Park, Derek Williams at the Midtown Minneapolis YWCA, or Ricky Rubio on NBA 2K12.
I'm going to say Kevin Love for no other reason than he went to watch Usain Bolt with James Harden and Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and Kobe Bryant. I think that's the real winning mentality that Timberwolves need around here, hanging out with guys who have won titles before, or have at least been in the playoffs, or have at least sniffed the playoffs. But no, I think Kevin Love, obviously, if he's on that Russia team, he's going to have phenomenal numbers too. He's going to be the focal point of their offense. And Kevin Love obviously has a reduced role. It's something that he hasn't seen since maybe his first year with Kevin McHale was coaching this team. But it's been a real reality check. What you're going to see from Kevin Love is what he's going to learn day in and day out. Somehow these elite players go about their business. Some of the professionalism that he's going to learn from the Kobe Bryant, the LeBron Jameses, the Kevin Durants. Sure, they have a lot of fun off the court, but he's a student there. He's taking notes. He's seen what it's like to be an elite player, and that's only going to help him down the road.
Their only lead, the Timberwolves, have been trying to win it here. Love! Got it!
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Is that great basketball or what?
This show is definitely not diseased.
Olympic talk to open the backdoor cut Wolves segment and talking a little Olympic women's basketball as well. Brett, we're going to transition to more Wolves talk because that's what we do. Wolves of then versus Wolves of now is what we're going with. We talked last week, as I mentioned at the top of the show, about the best individual seasons in the history of Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. Granted, not a very long storied history. It's been only, 23 years now. This will be the 23rd season in this franchise's history. But we did narrow it down to from 16 seasons all the way to one. You picked Kevin Love's 26-13 season of last year. I went with Kevin Garnett's MVP season of 03 and 04. And so what I've done here, Breck Letier, looking at all those seasons, you start to think, there's been a lot of Well, there's been a lot of good players. There haven't been a lot of great players in this Wolves franchise, hence the fact that we haven't even approached a title. The Western Conference Finals was as close as we got, and then something named Kareem Rush shot us out of those playoffs. And so you start to look and you say, well, you know, if you were to form a team right now of former Minnesota Timberwolves, you obviously have your team that you're going to be playing this year, one that features Kevin Love, Andre Kirilenko, and Alexei Shved. And looking in the past, if you were to take the best individual seasons, the best players from this franchise's history and form a team, match them up with the team of now, how far are we away from being a Western Conference Finals team? Let's, for instance, Brecklet here. We said that the fifth best season in the history of the Wolves was point guard Sam Cassell's season of 03-04, where he averaged 20 points a game, had the ball down the stretch for, and was the support, him and Latrell Sprewell, but mainly Cassell, in the Kevin Garnett's MVP season. He's probably my point guard. And please, by the way, Breck Lutier, stop me if you have any additions, any changes, and you might have to have a change in the shooting guard position if you feel like I'm missing or leaving someone out. The two play-in seasons we mentioned, the 16 versus 16 was Wally Szczerbiak. He would be my starting shooting guard, Breck Lutier, in all-star year of 2001 through 2002, excuse me, and 05-06, where he went 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists per game. 13th best season we named was Tom Gugliotti. He would be my starting small forward. 96-97, the first year that the Minnesota Timberwolves made the playoffs in their franchise's history, he averaged 20 points a game, 9 boards, and a ridiculous 3.8 steals. You had him going to the semifinals of our bracket last week. Al Jefferson is my starter power forward. 2 years over 20 points per game, one at over 17 a game, 11 rebounds per game in both of those years where he averaged over 20 in the scoring department, 9 rebounds with that 17-point season. And, of course, your center, because, Breck Lutier, I'm trying to make this team sound as good as possible, and God knows you can't start Rajan Nesterovic, Oliver Miller, Cherokee Parks, Irvin Johnson, or even back in the days where Luke Longley was the center for this team. You can't start any of those. So Kevin Garnett, the man that took down 8 of the top 16 seasons in our bracket, he is your starting center. And before,
you sure you couldn't start Darko Milicic now that he's not on the team anymore?
Well, maybe.
Put him in there.
You could put him in there. And this is, by the way, and of course what we're going with is those of the past. So if you are on the team now, you cannot be on the former team, which of course makes sense. Off the bench, and these are obviously the toughest choices, but I go with Sprewell. I have Tony Campbell, who I jokingly called Earl Campbell, former great running back in the NFL. The 89-90 season of Tony Campbell, I averaged 23 points a game. Stephon Marbury would have to be my backup point guard. Isaiah Ryder was a prolific scorer. He'll make the team. Sam Mitchell, second in the franchise history in points, third in rebounds. He has to make it. You have to have one true center on the roster. I'm of the belief, Brett Clutier, that the best center in the history of this franchise was Rajan Nesterovic. I'm putting him on the roster. Doug West, who is third on the team in steals, third on the team in assists, and third on the team in points in the history of this franchise. Is my last guy off the bench. He actually probably see a lot more playing time, and it's arguable he could be the starter at shooting guard. Arguable Isaiah Ryder could be the starter at shooting guard also. We're heavy in the backcourt on this team, Brett Clutier. We don't have a whole lot up front, but would you make any change? Would you add or take away anything from this team that I've just named? Cassell, Szczerbiak, Gugliotti, Jefferson, Garnett starting, Sprewell, Campbell, Marbury, Ryder, Mitchell, Nesterovic, West off the bench.
You don't have that, you know, a typical pure shooter coming off the bench. I'll let the Anthony Peeler make the team from a role player standpoint.
What about James Hollywood Robinson or Terry Porter to be a shooter?
Who, Richardson?
Yeah. More of a distributor,
I think Anthony Peeler would be a guy, though, that he was on those playoff teams. He had some prolific seasons. Not necessarily big statistical numbers, but he had big games. He had that big game against the Seattle Supersonics back, I know, in the first year there in the playoffs and got eliminated. And obviously, he's more...
Took over down the stretch in that game, yeah.
More infamous in Minnesota Timberwolves history for kind of going at KG in that playoff series against the Kings, but... It is what it is. Anthony Peeler was a really nice role player. So while you have some starters or stars on the team on your bench, I would like to see your typical role player give some love to the guys who made a career coming off the bench in this league.
Would you maybe take Szczerbiak out and have him be a shooter off the bench and start a Doug West, start a Sprewell, start a Isaiah Ryder?
You know, I like Sprewell off the bench because he can come in against second units and do his thing, maybe chop up, you know, 6 or 7, 8 points every time he comes in the game for 8 or 9 minute stretches against other teams' bench, score 15 points a game. I keep Sprewell on the bench. You know, maybe Doug West bring a defensive player because obviously shooting guards are going against the likes of Kobe Bryant, and obviously if you're playing in the NBA season, shooting guards are very prolific scorers. You know, LeBron James is Dwayne Wade, et cetera, et cetera.
I think you start Doug West, have Zerbiak and Sprue off the bench playing the wing together with Stephon Marbury. That's a scoring bench that you have there for the Minnesota Timberwolves of old.
Doug West not a slouch at all on offense either. Like we said, third in the history of this franchise in points scored. Obviously, that is a little skewed because you have certain guys with the team for a certain amount of time. That's why Sam Mitchell is second in the franchise in points and third in rebounds. No additions or subtractions. Do you think I nailed it? Do you think that's about right?
That's pretty good. The one thing, though, that I say a lot, if you're looking at X's and O's wise, is, would be having a shooter in there because you're going to have a lot of points inside with Gugliotta, Al Jefferson, and Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Maybe I take Gugliotta off and put him on the bench, keep Doug West in, then have Zerbiak play the three and have Jefferson and Garnett on the inside.
Interesting. Let's look at the team that they would be matching up against were this to happen. And we're taking these people in their prime. Say they did have their best season. Take Al Jefferson in his 23-11 season. Take KG in his MVP season. Take Gugliotta in his 20-9 season. Campbell in his 15-seed season that we had last week. 14-seed was Marbury. Pardon me. So take all those guys at their prime. This is a all-star, all-Minnesota Timberwolves team. Match him up against. Let's say Ricky Rubio is healthy for the sake of argument, Brett Clutier. Ricky Rubio, and then, of course, off the bench, Luke Ridenour and J.J. Jose Juan Barea. At your shooting guard, of course, I'm looking at it right now, you'd love to start Alexi Shved. Not sure that that's a brilliant idea at the moment. But you also have Brandon Roy. You also have Chase Buttinger. And at the three, you could start the Derek Williamses. Robbie Hummel off the bench. You have, obviously, Andrei Kirilenko. Moving to the power forward spot, of course you have Kevin Love. Greg Stizma at center. You obviously have your starter, Nikola Pekovic, at center as well. There's a lot of talent on this team, and I guess what I'm asking from you, Brett Clutier, is to tell me where this team would fail against the Minnesota Timberwolves all-star squad. Where would they get overrun? And obviously they don't get Batum. They don't have a guy to of course, you could try and match Kevin Love up with KG. I'm pretty sure if you take him in his MVP season, KG's going to dominate Love on one end of the court. You maybe could say the other, though, for Kevin Love drawing Kevin Garnett away from the basket. How far behind is this team from, say, having Rubio match up with a Sam Cassell to, say, having Alexi Shved take on a Wally Zerbiak and having a Kevin Love take on an Al Jefferson?
Well, you took my main point, and that defensively is Kevin Love's biggest weakness.
Yeah.
If he has to guard either Al Jefferson or Kevin Garnett, he's going to struggle. Guys like Kevin Garnett, who shoot from the outside, he struggles against, isn't as quick getting out on the perimeter, whereas guys like Al Jefferson can be more physical at times with him inside, but I feel like that would be a better matchup for Kevin Love. You look at Brandon Roy. Now, since we're looking at playing the Timberwolves of old, do we get Brandon Roy of old, or do we get Brandon Roy on with two bad knees?
You have everyone from this year.
We don't get Brandon Roy of old. We're going to assume you get 18 minutes out of Brandon Roy and 9 points per game.
Yeah.
I think Rubio and Cassell is a good matchup for the new Timberwolves team. I think we have the upper hand there. You know, I even like Ridenour off the bench against Marbury because, remember, we're not getting veteran Marbury. We're getting young, out of control, immature stuff on Marbury. And I like Luke Ridenour in that matchup. You know, Luke Ridenour is decent defensively, gets a lot of steals, a good shooter, runs the offense well. I think that's a good matchup for him. Played against a lot of tough point guards in this league and played them pretty well. Derrick Rose, Darren Williams, Chris Paul, et cetera, et cetera. Center position, Al Jefferson is going to eat up Nikola Pekovic or Kevin Garnett. Either one of them is going to destroy him on the block. But he's a tough matchup. He draws a lot of fouls, gets to the free throw line. The Timberwolves of New are definitely a long ways away. But it's not that far apart. I don't think they're maybe, if they had to play an NBA season this year, they'd maybe be 8 wins apart. 8 wins? 10 wins apart? I don't know. What do you think?
And of course, where we're going with this is you look at the fact that none of these teams, no matter where you even take some of the guys that never made the playoffs, the Tony Campbells, Sam Mitchell was around for a season or two in the beginning of those playoff spots, but didn't get a whole lot of run in his prime in the playoffs. Doug West never saw the playoffs. So you're looking and saying, well, a lot of these guys that would make the Minnesota Timberwolves All-NBA team or All-Star team, all-time team, you haven't seen a lot of playoffs. There's a lot of these guys that have never even gotten the first step of the way to win an NBA title, let alone getting to the Western Conference Finals. And this team that's put together right now hasn't been there either. But there are guys like the Kevin Garnetts. There are guys like the Sam Cassells, who was battle-tested, has a ring. Latrell Sprewell, who had all his success out in New York without ever winning a ring. But guys that have been there. And if you put them all together, you still have zero titles in an NBA uniform for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So you're looking at this team and saying, well, if we're 8 or 10 wins away from a team that has never, and granted, of course, they have, put all their playoff appearances together, it looks pretty impressive because a lot of these guys have been in the playoffs multiple times. But my point being is that none of them advanced past the Western Conference Finals. Them being 8 or 10 wins behind this team is not bad because it is an all-star team, but it's an all-star team of one of the, I don't want to make this sound how it's going to sound, but it is one of the worst franchises in basketball, quite honestly.
Yeah. I mean, one of the most inept franchises in NBA history.
One of the least successful from the Joe Smith scandal to the multiple failed draft choices to the getting nothing back for Kevin Garnett aside from Al Jefferson and then having the obvious lack of success with Jefferson. You have seen a team that has never been run in the manner of a winner. You've seen a team that has reflected that play on the court. You've seen a coaching carousel since Flip Saunders was ousted by Kevin McHale. McHale, the ostrich, then took over and, of course, had very little success as a coach, much more success down in Houston these days. But if we're not getting to the level, and granted, hey, this team's been together for, 0 years, but Rubio's only been over here a year. Roy and Schvetter, coming over hoping to bring some energy. Love's only in his, fourth year in the league or whatever it is. Had two very good seasons. So everyone's still progressing. But this team is still a ways away. If anyone's expecting Brett Clutier for this team to come in and say, hey, oh, look at Kirilenko, look at Schved. And as much as, of course, we love to play this card up because we love Kirilenko and Schved. We love the positivity because this town for basketball positivity has been hurting, on the men's side anyway, for a long time. We love the positivity. But if anyone thinks that this team is going to instantly come in and these guys are going to come in and drop 15, 20 a game, and it's going to be brand new squad. Let's run with the Wolves. Hashtag Wolves in Vegas. Wolves in Minneapolis. Wolves in wherever the titles.
Hashtag Wolves in the finals, yeah.
Hashtag Wolves in the Eastern Conference because we're going to be playing an Eastern Conference team in the finals. Anything like that. No. It's not going to happen. We are still a ways behind these guys that never did a lot of the things we're talking about, Brett.
But this also, as you pointed out a little bit ago, the franchise encompassed over 23
right.
years.
Or hasn't been long.
19 years.
Hasn't been long.
We haven't been on the team in a while. So it's not like we're going to a storied franchise like the New York Knicks have been around for 56
right.
years. But at the same time, you got to look at the head coaching match, too. You got Rick Adelman and you got Flip Saunders. Where does that help? I think Flip Saunders coaching that team is going to do a little better than Rick Adelman with this young, the more inexperienced team. But like you said, this is a good young core. It shows that we're not that far away. But one downer is the fact that there's more talent in the NBA right now
mm-hmm.
than there was in the late 80s and early in the 90s. Well, you have the Jordans, the Malones, the Barkleys, et cetera, the Drexlers, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the talent across the board, the European talent that's present, you have talent from just, Americans in general, you have a better NBA. So while this team isn't that far away from the 23-year history Wolves, the league as itself is a lot better, making their team, who is an average NBA team right now at best, that much lower against the all-time Timberwolves team.
And as the non-athletic guys go on this team, say that, Tom Gugliotta wasn't ridiculously athletic. Sam Mitchell was, a glorified hustle guy. Rajon Nesterovic, the farthest thing from athletic. In this league today, if you are not an athlete, even as a big man, look at the Pau Gasols. Like, even he is somewhat athletic for a guy that is 7 feet. Dwight Howard, obviously, ridiculously athletic if you want to look on the high end. So there's very few athletic big men. Those are the ones that succeed. But if you're not an athlete at any position these days, you're going to find treading in the NBA extremely tough. And on this team, Wally Szczerbiak was, ugly off the dribble. Jefferson isn't even that athletic. So you look up and down the lineup, and there's not a whole lot of athletes. Like you said, a lot better competition these days. And I think that, like you said, does set us back a little bit. This is the Backdoor Cut on KFN.com and bringmethenews.com at bringmn at sportsmn on Twitter. We're downtown back in our new offices. Thank you, Bring Me the News, for hosting this podcast. Thank you, Meat Sauce, for hosting this podcast.
This show is definitely not disease.
On air section of KFN.com under his face, you'll find our play on Facebook, The Backdoor Cut on KUG with Mike Gallagher and Brett Clutier. That was, of course, before we came to KFN.com and got a very lucrative contract that has us rolling in dough.
It's not lucrative, nor is it a contract.
Brett Clutier on Twitter, where we at?
You can follow yourself, my co-host, Mike Gallagher, at Mike_Galley21, or myself, my first name and last name, which is Brett Clotier, BrettClotier. Deuces.
Now, here's my thing. I've always said, Tiger the Field, I gotta take Tiger.
You're too close, man.
Eric Hosmer, the Kansas City Royals, will hit 40 home runs this season.
father passed the story down to his son's ears. Younger kid, younger every
team. Go get it, Anthony Davis. No matter where it is. Just get it in the neighborhood.
You're rattling off some of these high scores as the most electrifying scores left in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because they're scoring 23 points against inferior competition.
Yeah,
you put
buddy.
Trey Burke on a mid-major team, he's averaging 30 a night.
No,
I would
not.
Say Trey Burke's one of the more electric scores in the NCAA tournament. Michigan.
Number 5 in the nation, Mizzou.
Yeah, Missouri.
Big 12 champs, crushing Norfolk State. Yeah, or at Duke. Yeah, Duke's beating Lehigh. Who cares?
What?
He has 19 points in all. 25-8 spurt by the East. They're now within three after trailing by as many as 21. Westbrook. Oh! Russell Westbrook flying to the rim.
You're not a good sports mind.
Okay, bye-bye.
To live for